28th, creeping up on the end of the month. Had a good morning this morning. Good meeting. A lot of great info at the Chambers event with Jeff Brandis, with Brandy Gabbard, with Ken Welch and yourself, Matt. It was very informative, and appreciate you putting that out there.
Oh, welcome, Joe. Thanks again. First of all, the Catalyst doing an amazing job, you know, and we're going to talk about media coverage today. But first of all, I just want to say thank you for what you guys are doing. In fact, you guys got to get an event coming up on Thursday that I want people to be aware of because it's something everybody can attend. And I think it's free, too. So can you tell people a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's not our event, but it's a group we partner with. It's the Suncoast Tiger Bay. It's a monthly lunch we typically have, but now we're doing it virtual, and it's this Thursday at noon. And we're gonna have three or four health professionals talking about being on the front lines and dealing with COVID-19 and what they're seeing and what the latest medical news they have is. And of course, if you're a Tiger Bay member, you can ask questions. So it's a great resource and a great way to get up to date information, you know, from the professionals instead of Martha from Wisconsin, you know, on Facebook. Right. So just hit the Tiger Bay Facebook page to register for that, and it's completely free. And if you haven't been to a Tiger Bay event, this will give you a little taste of what it's like. It's not as good as that delicious yacht club food, but what can we do?
Soon enough. But hey, I'm glad you guys are doing that, and I'm glad the topic's health, the healthcare still, because you know we are getting so close. We've got our governor on Fox News right now. He just came back from the White House. He's updating the community on what he's believing. I believe you're going to hear in the next few days, Joe, that there are counties in Pinellas County ready to open up. So you're going to have a governor come back to the state with some kind of optimism of how we open. Because there really are counties that only have one case or five cases total, and they haven't had any others since. So there is a time to do that. So I think, you know, for us to ask those people on Thursday what we need to know, make sure we understand those gates, make sure we understand our trajectory so we can get open is really important. So I'd ask every business leader to get really involved in making sure we understand that. And then also there's some other good news happening today as well. So we've got the first information about some of the relief efforts the county is doing. The county got about $170 million from the federal government. $170 million to put out on the streets for our business community. So you are going to have an option to, again, look for grant money, just like the Fighting Chance money, starting next week, May 4th. But you can start getting the information now. I encourage you all to start learning about it because it's, again, 1 to 25 employees, very similar to how we did ours. But that's money. That's grant money both for your family and for your business. So there's another round of relief. We said there would be some coming. I just want to make sure our businesses get first in line. So please just pay attention and hit go on May 4th so you can be the first in line. That money will run out too.
Heard. Yeah. We'll make sure we have the information. We'll stay tight with that on the Catalyst so nobody misses anything.
Great. So today I thought let's talk about how we're covering the news a little bit on this and bring another legend to it. I've got you on it, but let's bring the other legend in our community that has created this whole effort, and that's Peter.
Hey, Peter. Hey there.
Welcome, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to hear from you guys. How are you all doing?
Better every day, buddy. Better every day as more of this information comes out. We were just talking to Joe about just, hey, we're getting some news from the governor that he's looking at getting close to opening. There are counties ready to do it. We're getting our county that's getting some resources available to us as we prepare for reopen. So I think at least now we understand what we're into. We still have a lot of work to do, but we're feeling better about it. Looks like you're hunkered down somewhere on the shores of St. Pete. Is that correct?
Well, I can be there, or I mean, I can't wait to be my favorite spot, back on a Disney cruise. So I will say, like, searching for virtual backgrounds is one of my favorite pastimes that I'm limited to right now.
You and me both, Peter. We just go in different directions with it.
That to me is the one of the best.
That's frightening.
Show them your kitchen, Joe. Show them your kitchen.
Peter, you have never seen. I don't think you've been to my house yet, Peter. So
no.
the what you saw before was actually my virtual background, my office. But this is my real house.
That's a real house.
I can run you into the kitchen. This is before we cleaned it up.
I think you did a good job cleaning it up. That was
where the magic happens, you know.
Chris, am I looking right out out your window behind your right hand, right shoulder? That's Crescent Lake, right?
Yeah, it sure is. Yep, I get to watch all the people come to the park every day, and there's a lot of them. I tell you that.
So. I was there. I walked there yesterday for the first time. I'm like, all right, you know, I got to get back where I was beforehand. I was kind of surprised, maybe a little disappointed, how many people were out there and didn't have masks. Like it was a little, like I definitely had a mask on, and it was just like, hey, I got no problem with everybody out here walking and maybe doing stuff, but come on.
Well, I tell you, Pete, my wife and I do it every night, and we're having to we literally have to dodge people, stay about 10 feet away, because I would say a majority, 80% of the people that are walking around the lake don't understand that it's still important for everybody's health if they do it. And yeah. I think that's what I'm most nervous about as we start talking about reopen, to be honest with you, is people just don't listen and they just don't follow that advice. So I think, you know, having two good media guys like you on the call today, I think it would be communication is going to be the key going into this, right? Yeah. And how much we can repeat all that. But before we get any further, so you're running a major publication, online publication in our community, and now in print as well. Tell a little bit about who you are and what you do.
I'm Peter Schorsch. I am the publisher of FloridaPolitics.com. And we have the largest political reporting footprint now in the state. And in a time when other news organizations have cut back, I'm proud to say we haven't laid off anybody. We've actually expanded our offerings. We have a lot of the things that people once liked about newspapers. We've got an editorial cartoonist. We offer that. We've got reporters in every part of the state: South Florida, Jacksonville, Orlando, Naples, several reporters in Tallahassee. So we try to bring a statewide perspective to political news, rather than, hey, Governor DeSantis is in Tampa today. We will cover that, but we're putting a bigger picture to it. And so I will say the thing that's been remarkable for the month, and I'm sure, Joe, you're probably seeing the same thing. In fact, I remember talking to – I was talking to one of the county commissioners last night, and they were talking about how much the catalyst is one of the things that they read. We had, in the month of March, our traffic was 3.5 times the busiest month that we had ever had, which was an election. So right now we're basically – it's election day every day in terms of our traffic and coverage and the amount of stories that we're reporting, as we cover everything from unemployment news to the, you know, we had the scoop last week on the outbreak at the Freedom Square nursing home, what local officials are doing, what statewide officials are doing. So we've pivoted from the campaign trail basically to really intense coverage of government's response to this pandemic.
Right. And it seems like both of you guys really haven't missed a beat. So from a consumer perspective, what are we missing? I mean, because it seems like that you guys are covering it in more detail than ever before. Is something being lost by just not being out there and covering it, or what is there anything we're losing?
I think a couple things, you know, just offhand. I think the number one thing is explanatory journalism. I think that people are being bombarded with information right now. There is so much, it's always the argument between the noise and the signal. There were scary models coming out, and now people are poo-pooing the models on the back end. And that's not what models are, self-defeating. By putting a speed limit sign outside, you will go slower. And that's, you know, in a much more important way, that's what had happened here. We warned people, if we do not do social distancing and these lockdowns, we will have 200,000 people dead in the United States. And, you know, fortunately, most people listened. And so I think the explanation about what is going on in terms of the numbers, what infection rate means, what testing rates mean, et cetera, it's, you know, people, what does it mean when we get 70, I see Jared Moskowitz, who's a really good friend, he'll come on and he'll say, we got 75,000 N95 masks from 3M today. Well, is that a lot or a little? Like, is that enough to keep Jackson Health in stock for a week or a day or not at all? And so, you know, the numbers, people are just so bombarded right now with the numbers. So I wish there was a little bit more pullback and a chance to better explain what's going on in terms of these big numbers that are being floated out here.
And along those lines, I think where I feel we've fallen down, and I would say one of our most important roles is to connect people to the risk. And, you know, we're, by our nature, we're a solutions-based, positive news source. You know, we're that's just, you know, we're a community service more than we, you know, as much as we are a news source. And so it's in our nature to, you know, to push people through it, to look for all the, you know, the resources, to do the inspiration, to bring the levity, to have, you know, good conversations. But I think that, you know, the pattern is that people who have been directly affected by it and have felt it have a very different reaction to it than the people who don't, because it's the same disconnect that people have always felt with their health, right? You have to be able to connect the short-term, you know, action you take now, whether it's eating something or smoking, with the long-term effect. And, you know, I feel like I almost wish we would have been a little more stark in bringing the stories of, it's not just the elderly, it's kids that are suffering real problems. It's adults that are suffering real problems. Very healthy people are dying because of, you know, of who knows, you know, a variety of reasons. And so, you know, I think I would have done a little more, and I want to do a little more of that, because I think that's, you know, putting that real the gravity of it in people's heads versus just the swirl of all this stuff is I think our responsibility.
Yep. And so let me just add, Pete, you know, so you, Joe doesn't cover a lot of the politics. He really covers a community itself, and you're following the politics of this effort too. How much of what we just talked about, like just the confusion and the bombardment, is about this, the political outlets of media right now, like that medias may have political leanings, and so information might be different per outlet. Do you, you know, how do you reconcile that in a time of a crisis like this?
You know, I've got I think you guys know that I love Christmas lights. And so I put out lights out on our house. I call them freedom lights, and they're the red, white, and blue lights. So imagine, you know, that out there. But we also put a banner out there that says, stay home, stay strong, or stay healthy, stay strong. And it's got an American flag inside of a heart. And it's supposed to be basically a unifying message. And yet I've had people drive by and give us a thumbs down sign to it. And I'm just like, and it's because I think they think that I'm telling them to stay home, and I'm telling them what to do. You know, nothing is going to divide us more than this pandemic. I've said this to my dearest friends, the devil himself could not have come up with a more treacherous way to divide American society right now, because this is not about Russian interference, which divided us before. This isn't about Bob Mueller or Donald Trump or what have you. This is about a life or death situation. And so when you have things like people are debating, you know, 3 weeks ago, the governor and the president are talking about hydrochloroxine being a solution. And so you've got one side saying we should be doing it, and we got another side saying, wait a second, it's not tested. And that, you know, the decision, it comes out on Friday, the FDA actually ends up putting out a warning about using that. And so this isn't about whether or not we think, you know, somebody is right or wrong. This is literally life or death situations. And so we're looking right now, as we speak right now, 83 Floridians died yesterday. It was a record number. And so some people look at that and they say, well, only 0.0015 amount of Floridians died, so we should not kill the economy. And then other people look at it and they say 83 Floridians died from one thing. If a bomb went off and 83 Floridians were killed, we would go to war. And so the only thing that I can say here is I think people have been numbed or sombered into respecting experts on this. I think that's kind of what happened on Thursday, Friday. I'm not as critical of the president as other people in the media, and I've actually been supportive of Governor DeSantis and other leaders. So I'm kind of in the middle. So I say this, I think we may have hit a tipping point when the Lysol comments came up. I think people finally just were like, you know, wait a second. We really do need to listen to the Dr. Fauci's and the Dr. Burks more than we do political leaders who are, you know, who are more concerned with a political outcome than they are a health outcome.
Right. Yeah, I think that is I'm hopeful. It sounds like you're hopeful too, that maybe we have actually flattened the curve on some of that craziness, right?
We have flattened the curve. That's the good thing. We have, like, Chris, that's the, I don't understand why we're not shouting from the rooftops. We are not Italy. You know, right. There are articles, you know, we were supposed to be Italy. 50,000 people in Florida were supposed to have died. And now, yes, we will end up probably losing 2,000 to 3,000 over the next couple of months. That is a victory. And everybody needs to be thanked for that, from the governmental leaders and also to the Floridians who said, you know what, this is serious. I'm going to keep my kids home from school. I'm going to lose my small business earnings for a month. But we did it. And I don't know if anybody knows how to take a victory lap after winning this first inning. I don't know if that's the right thing to do, but people should be commended for flattening the curve, for buying the hospitals time to treat this.
And I think the people who would be more apt to celebrate that, you know, I think what I had said before about that disconnect, you know, the divisiveness comes from battling perspectives. It's actual suffering versus potential suffering. And so the businesses that may close, you know, the status, 43% of people are one paycheck missed or two paychecks missed away from, you know, a disaster up to and including homelessness, that's actual suffering. And so they're enduring actual suffering to prevent greater potential suffering, which is both economic and physical. But those are the battling perspectives, because they're feeling it. And the other thing is only potential. And you can see the people, 80% of the people are walking around without masks on. They're not doing a good job of connecting with that potential suffering. And as you get good news that comes out about, you know, these wins that you're discussing, that then makes the actual suffering all the more painful, because the pressure against of having that suffering is now going down, which makes that the actual suffering balloon and go, okay, you know, we're here. I'm actually suffering. And I think, you know, recognizing that those two perspectives are really, and then, you know, then you throw the politicians' perspectives into the mix too. And that acts as just sort of a churning mechanism, but, you know, that's respecting these different perspectives. And it goes back to telling the story so that we can constantly keep a true grip on the real risk and the potential threat to balance against the actual pain people are feeling.
Gotcha. You know, just a question not related to that, but somewhat just about just how Florida's conducting itself. Peter, I agree with you. I think, you know, it's hard to give people good credit when things are still, when the boat's still sinking. But I'm very fond of all the leadership I've seen from every level, because it's just really hard. Nobody, this was a meteorite that hit our earth. Nobody was ready for this. Nobody prepared. So I am fond of that. But I was also interested and excited to watch California put together kind of a confederacy of states that are agreeing on how to do this. Now they've gotten Nevada to join along as well. So now they've got a pretty good block. Here in Florida, we have the Southeast, which one of our next door neighbors just went live, you know, already. I do think there's another concept about just how are we going to be safe in the Southeast? Is there any thoughts on that one, just about like the partners we need? Because Florida's pretty attractive. And we start opening our beaches and people start coming down here, we might find ourselves not having such luck. Any concepts about how Florida handles our neighbors?
You know, I actually go the opposite way there. And we'll say, I saw a tweet, and so it's not mine, but I agree with this. It's like, congratulations, we've now created the Holy Roman Empire. You know, United States is not supposed to be 8 or 10 regions working together. It's supposed to be either a state or a federal response. And so I think you run into things like, okay, well, we're going to do the Southeast, but we're not going to do North Carolina because it's a Democratic governor, or, you know, you run into some of that. I think as to your question specifically, like Florida has nothing in common with Mississippi and Alabama. Like that's just, I mean, other than us being, I think that, I mean, it's just like to lump us in and to do some regional compact with them, I guess, you know, like parts of Alabama and Mississippi will go to Panhandle beaches. And I know that some parts of Tallahassee interact with Valdosta and stuff like that. But man, we know better than that. I mean, when's the last time anybody listening to this call has been to Mississippi? We need to focus on Miami and Jacksonville, Orlando, Vero, you know, Boca, et cetera. I in this one, I wouldn't mind if Florida continues to go at its own pace. And in doing so, I think there's more concern about South Florida should go slower than, you know, north of, I don't know, maybe north of Polk County or something like that. Like, I don't see where the same things that are happening in South Florida are just not happening in the Panhandle. They're just not. And so we should, you know, we should deal with it that way. So I don't really like this Confederacy of States concept. And there's a reason why I call it. We tried that once before. We tried those kinds of governments and they didn't work. So I'm not a fan of it.
I understand. And you did bring up the point that I think, you know, we haven't touched much on, Joe, is like, you know, I just was off the call from the state. 60% of the active cases and the cases that have been diagnosed have been in those three South Florida counties. And so that, I mean, that's 60% in three counties. And that is why we're going to be different. So Pete, from your perspective, at a statewide perspective, how does the Tampa Bay story and the Miami story differ? Like from business perspective, like, if, you know, how do we have it better than them? What are you seeing down there that says, hey, Tampa Bay has done a pretty good job of this?
Well, we know St. Pete has it better than anybody else. We just know that. Geography is destiny here. And the fact that you can limit people and there isn't you're not driving through Pinellas County to get to somewhere else for the most part, right? I mean, you're just not doing that. And that has helped us immensely. But I think the number one takeaway is really our leadership. And yeah, it's very easy for Chamber of Commerce folks like ourselves to say how great our local leaders are. I mean, we do that 364 days out of 365. But I think when the stories are written, we're going to write stories, the heroes of the pandemic, and Jane Casper's going to be up there. Rick Kreisman's going to be up there. Chad Cronister's going to be up there. Bob Gualtieri's going to be up there. As I was listening before this to the county commissioners debate the beaches thing, I don't care where you come down on some of this stuff, curfews or not, beaches opened or not, small businesses open. You can't tell me that these folks aren't putting 100% thinking into how to solve these problems. I mean, Bob Gualtieri, to his everlasting credit, wrestles with decisions like a Shakespearean character. And he is not afraid to back off of a decision that he made a couple weeks ago because new data has come in. Whereas we don't see a lot of politicians like that. They're like, oh no, shut the beaches down. You know, they're all the mayors from Amityville. We got to keep the beaches open or we can't do that. I look at Hillsborough where, you know, they had the curfew for a moment and then they backed off of it. They looked at it and they're like, wait a second, this isn't going to work. Instead of trying to ram that through and keep it in place, they didn't. And so, you know, why do we have it better? I really think, you know, our local officials, I can't, and who's more critical and who likes to make fun of people more than me in politics? I got to tell you, I mean, they're rock stars. Other people have done a very good job, Lenny Curry, Buddy Dyer, et cetera. But if we've ever, I mean, this like the band of leaders that we have in right now and the way that they jumped in front of Governor DeSantis's orders on some cases and actually trailed him on others, it's been remarkable.
Well, I agree. And that absolutely. Appreciate the leadership, but I do want to just throw some love to both of you guys because I really do believe Tampa Bay has always kind of been the leader of Florida's media revolution, and you guys have led that for us again. So I think part of why we feel as comfortable with our decisions is because of the information that we're getting from you all. I don't know of another market that has such intense focus that you guys have provided us.
And I'll deflect that down to Peter. He was, I would say, probably the biggest influence. I looked at what he did with Florida Politics, St. Peter's Blog, excuse me, back in the day. And, you know, when I first, it was a funny story when I first encountered Peter, which we talked about when he did the SPX podcast. So if you want to hear that, I would recommend, it's a good podcast, stpx.com. And Chris and I did one as well way back in the day before I knew what the hell I was doing. But I really enjoyed the one I did with Peter later on, and tell the story how I first met him. And, you know, he really was a big part of me even thinking about the Catalyst and seeing how this local presence could exist. And, you know, what he did for politics, I imprinted for business, which is what we originally started as a business rag. So, he was a big inspiration.
As I wrap this up here, you're always good at knowing what the future looks like. So help me understand how you think the rest of this story plays out. So you get to write the headlines for the next week or two. What do you see some of those attention-grabbing headlines to be?
I think the biggest factor was Donald Trump and Georgia's governor getting into a spat about him reopening too early. That gave Ron DeSantis some breathing room. And that's why a week ago you saw Ron DeSantis, hey, we're probably going to open up May 1st. And then this week, you know, especially as he tours some of the hospitals, Ron DeSantis is saying, hey, let's take baby steps. And so I think you're going to see more things towards May 8th, May 15th. Then you were going to see things like start on Monday. So yes, I think we will get elective surgeries, maybe some like barber shops, et cetera, open between May 11th and May 18th. I think after that, you'll start to see some restaurants and things like that beta test in from up and around Memorial Day. I think you'll see Disney World maybe come on after earnings reports come out. I think you'll see a plan from Disney, which is a big driver from us. I think in the next couple of weeks, you're going to see Disney say, explain how they're going to beta test reopening, which is going to be a big thing. So I think the state will be about 40% back online by Memorial Day.
Wow. There we go. Hey, I'll take it. I appreciate it. It makes sense to me. We're tracking that same information, but, Peter, thank you very much for covering St. Pete, for being a supporter of the Chamber of Commerce, for taking care of all your employees and hiring more. We appreciate you being an employer of our community as well. And thank you for you and Joe making St. Pete the place where information is born and intelligence is created. So you guys have made us proud, and thank you very much.
I appreciate being able to come on with you guys. Thanks, Joe, for the nice compliment. Chris, you're going to be so important to the way forward. So. Keep up, stay strong, and best to you and your family.
Thank you, guys.